Out of order for consideration of item 16.01, request from Denver Public Schools on behalf of Creative Community Challenge, Denver Green School, Asher Elementary, and the Cole Arts and Sciences Academy. Dr. Flores, you had a question about this, if you'd like to proceed.
Well, I think we're going to do a brief presentation. I think Denver Public Schools is going to do a brief presentation on their Luminary Learning Network, which is a new governance system that they're thinking about.
So thank you, Dr. Fuller, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, please proceed.
Misty Ruthven, Executive Director of Innovation. Today we have a few guests from Denver Public Schools with us. We have Greg Hatcher, who is with Legislative Government Affairs. And we have Kelly Kovacic, who is Executive Director of Portfolio Management. And they're here today to answer any questions that you may have regarding the items for Denver Public Schools and their innovation zone.
Okay, who would like to proceed?
So I think, Mr. Chair, what we'll do is just give a high-level overview of the innovation zone, and then we'll stop there and then pause for any questions and go from there, if that's okay.
So Denver Public Schools is seeking the state's approval of our first innovation zone application. This is an application that's been brought forward for four of our elementary schools that will be entering this zone, with really the goal being to provide them an opportunity to continue to grow and expand and improve outcomes for students, and specifically move from good to great. So these are all schools that have been showing incredible improvement or have been doing really well on our school performance framework and are seeking to continue to expand the ways in which they're able to serve students even better. As part of this innovation zone, the schools are seeking some additional waivers from the state, which is why we're bringing it forward today. They will still be under the authority of our school board, but we will be entering into an agreement through an MOU with a third party that will be providing some additional supports to the schools that are in the zone. But our Board of Education will remain responsible for these schools, will have oversight of these schools, and will have the non-delegable duties of ensuring that these schools are performing at incredible levels as we enter into this relationship of our first innovation zone.
Okay, cool. Yes, Dr. Flores.
Okay, my concern in having read this and then having attended several meetings, in Denver and hearing from parents, especially parents from that particular zone, and also teachers. So this is parents and teacher meetings that I have been attending. And, you know, one of the questions that I asked your superintendent was, so why are you coming to the board? You've had zones before. And they said, well, you have had zones before, but now this is a zone. And they said that for this zone, you had to come to us. And possibly it's because of an MOU that this nonprofit that just came about, which is the Luminary Learning Network. It's a 501c3. It's a nonprofit. And what they're doing that's really very different is that they're going to experiment with a different governance model. So yes, there are charter schools that have their own governance structure, but this is getting together several schools that are, some of them are innovation schools, but it's going to take it to a different level. So you have this nonprofit, which is the Gates Foundation, the Gates Family Foundation. Mary Sewell goes to Massachusetts and asks for this outfit. It's called Empower Schools to Help. So it brings together four entities, it's the Luminary Foundation. It's the Massachusetts outfit. It's, well, those are together. It's DPS, and then there's a committee of sort of another board that's going to be created. So I'm thinking, you know, and this is what parents and teachers are saying. You're just creating another overseer. We already have in Denver four separate districts. We have four separate districts, and you have the Northwest, it may be five, but there are, and there's a superintendent, associate superintendent, that looks over that, and then there's other entities. So, I mean, to me, it seems that you're working more with the administration than with the kids. I mean, what Denver needs, seriously, looking at it, having attended these schools, is you need a lower teacher-pupil ratio. I mean, you cannot do 32, 37, 38 kids in hard-to-serve schools. And I'm talking about poor kids, kids that are homeless. The Dora Moore School, I mean, that is a school that serves children that are homeless. Diana DeGette's a person who is responsible for policy. She hired somebody who came in. They apparently had a home here. They moved immediately to Cherry Creek. I mean, their kids were in schools with 38. This is what she presented at a parent meeting. So, and this is not just an isolated case. This is happening all over Denver. And here we have one company after another company coming in to oversee and train supervisors, to train administrators. Now Relay is coming in to train teachers. Seriously, we need to think about kids and stopping this, what I think is churn, churn, churn. You know, you can't have just go on and create and try to create being the first school in the nation. This is how it was described to me by the superintendent. Would be the first school district in the country who would have such a governance model. And, you know, we need to, DPS is going to reallocate funds to this learning zone, to this Luminary Learning Network. So we're talking about monies as well. And, you know, and this means a lot of shuffling around, a lot of, it's not going to do good things for kids when research is clear on this, that to serve kids who are poor, to serve kids who are limited English proficient, to serve kids who are minority and who are special ed, you're going to need to cut the size down of teacher-pupil ratio in elementary school. And maybe high school is another thing, but this is something that needs to be done. And I'm not just talking to you from, you know, the reaches of brain matter here. It's brain matter that's been in various meetings. So after, you know, looking and rereading and reading, I just can't go along with this. I'm sorry.
So, just to clarify briefly, Dr. Flores, is your question how will this help students?
No, it's a statement. I'm not asking.
Great.
It doesn't even tell us how it's going to help students. It just says it makes these broad statements. By 2020, the innovation, Denver's innovation schools will be up to whatever. Principals sign off, teachers sign off on all this stuff, but yet there's no strategies. I don't see any strategies that are going to get kids to learn. There's nothing about reading, nothing about hiring these people that are going to be super teachers, nothing about teachers. It's all about administration and governance, putting another governance system on another governance system on another governance system. And I just don't think that's the way you get kids that are not performing. And I know that I know these schools have done a great job of improving academic learning, but I just don't see it really working. And I know that we're going to get more. I know that Pueblo, I mean, it comes down to where principals are allowing people that are not certified, they're not supervisors, they don't have a supervisory certificate, they don't have a principal certificate, and then they're allowed to go in and supervise and also evaluate teachers. And I don't think that's right. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Dr. Flores. Do you have a question for our...
No, I just wanted to make that statement. Many
yes.
others have questions.
Any other questions?
I don't have a question. I have a comment and then a motion. My comment is that we hear a lot that the innovation schools aren't innovative. And I appreciate the effort to actually be innovative and try something different. So the motion that I'd like to make is that we... I'm sorry. Repeat everything.
No,
I'm going to make a motion. First of all, I want to say that I appreciate that this is actually something innovative. Not everything's going to be... Everything that's tried is going to have those results you expect, but I encourage Denver to keep being innovative. I really appreciate that this is a new try, and I've visited at least one of those schools, so I'm excited for you. So I'd like to move that we honor the request of Denver Public Schools on behalf of Creative Community Challenge, Denver Green School, Ashley Elementary, and Cole Arts Elementary waivers.
And seconded by Ms. Rankin. Further discussion, yes, Dr. Scheffel.
This is kind of a legal question. Can someone review our responsibilities as far as innovation status? In other words, this kind of relates to waivers. Some applications are essentially, we're required to approve them because of the nature of the waiver process. But could you, this is a request for innovation status, right? Innovation zone. Could you just review the legalities around our approval of this and what the basis of that authority is?
This is a request for additional waivers. My understanding is that the intention is to align the waivers that are previously received from each of these innovation schools so that every school in the zone has the same waivers. However, the only legal standard in the statute for approving the waivers on a plan like this is the following, that the state board shall approve them unless the state board concludes that the submitted plan is likely to result in a decrease in academic achievement in the innovation schools or innovation school zones, or is not fiscally feasible. So it tends to be a fairly low bar terms of the statutory standard.
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Flores?
I know this board, so it'll probably be approved, but can we put a limit as to when they can return? Let's say 2 years. They will return to us in 2 years to see what progress they have made academically in these schools. And hopefully we'll raise the academics to 50% as opposed to 20% or whatever it is right now.
So just Mr. Hatcher, go right ahead.
Mr. Chair, really quickly, and for Dr. Flores as well, just want to, as Mr. Dill said, so I just want to clarify that the four schools that are coming forward are currently innovation schools. state-approved innovation schools that you guys renew and have already approved. And so this is them coming together as a zone to work together as innovation schools. And currently in Denver Public Schools, as Dr. Flores, I know you're familiar with, we have a process of every 3 to 5 years of schools and networks and coming back to us for reapproval, which then come back to you guys as well. And so in terms of our ability to hold the schools accountable, we have that, those processes in place.
They don't come back to us. Okay, so you have that, but we're approving it, and don't we have the right to say that they're coming to us for approval? We have the right to say, okay, so in 2 years, we would like you to come back to us and see how well you're doing, how well this zone is doing academically. And I'd like to kind of also look into reporting of the monies and how this learning, this 501c3 is doing, how it's doing fiscally during that time as well.
Yes, Ms. Kosick, did you want to respond? Or Mr. Dill, do we have the right to condition this approval?
We're not approving.
I suspect that I might be able to boom this out without the use of this, but the statute says that in terms of what condition you're putting on the waiver, the statute says that the waiver will continue to apply so long as the public school continues to be designated as an innovation school or included in an innovation school zone. I believe that the statute does provide for a 3-year review of innovation schools and innovation school zones, but that is a review that is conducted by the district and not by the state board.
Okay. Well, but if we're approving it, we can't, don't we have, can't we just place conditions on this approval? I mean, why approve it with no conditions? If, I mean, that's up to the, I mean, first of all, they're going to be approved by that Lumosinary, no, it's not, it's Luminary Learning Zone. They're going to be approved by that every year. They're going to be approved by Denver Public Schools every 3 years. And I'm saying let's do it every 2 years for us, that we're asking for 2 years. I'm just thinking that every district is going to be coming to us and asking for these zones. I mean, and they're going to be asking for all kinds of dispensations, such as asking for a principal to give the job of supervising and evaluating to a person who doesn't have any credentials. And I'm concerned about that. So I know you're not. I think I got you mixed up with Pueblo. But in any case, I think we need to have some rules here. If people want to come to us, first of all, I didn't think you needed to come to the board for this, but then was told, well, no, this is different. We're going to be experimenting with a new governance model. And so if you want to experiment, then you've got to play by the music. I mean.
Yes, Dr. Schroeder. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Scheffel.
Can you just talk a little bit about the model? I've been trying to read through the documents, and it's a little hard to follow. Can you just speak to why it's innovative and what you're seeking to do?
Sure. So we are specifically coming to the state to approve this plan because there are 3 new waivers that 3 of the 4 schools are seeking as part of the innovation zone process. And then we have 1 school that is seeking a new state waiver, 229106, that will impact its ability to execute the human resource strategy. So that's the reason why we're bringing it before the state today, is to get approval for those 3 waivers. The model in and of itself will be innovative in that we will be partnering with a third-party entity, LLN, to provide support to this zone. It's very similar to how we would partner with another third-party entity that might provide support, thinking about our experience with Blueprint, for instance. Why we need approval from the state is because of the waivers that will be part of the zone that the schools will then be able to execute. We will have a three-year renewal process, so the zone will need to come before us in 3 years, and as part of the plan, we have set very clear performance standards that the zone and each of the schools needs to meet or exceed in order for renewal to take place. So very concretely, what we are asking is that every school move up one performance, at least one performance band in 3 years in order to be renewed and be able to remain a part of the zone. So I just want to clarify that we have put in place incredibly rigorous and strong accountability mechanisms along with the autonomies that we will be providing.
So, yes, Dr. Scheffel, go ahead and finish.
But one thing about your zones are that they're very heavy, much more so on improvement as opposed to academics. So, I mean, at the rate that Denver Public Schools is moving, it might take them 20 years to get, you know, academically to go from 1 point to 2 point in scoring. So I think improving is good, but not making academic, really making any improvement academically is not good. So it's moving at a snail's pace. So I know about your bands, but I also think that the board needs to say to Denver Public Schools, we need to have them on the same SBF as everybody else in the state, and we don't. They have their own system because supposedly it's better, but we need to have everybody, every district on the same SBF.
So may I ask a follow-up?
Dr. Scheffel, yes.
So is it, just tell me if I'm correct, I think what you're seeking from us are waivers that are essentially required that we grant, unless we feel that granting the waivers actually would decrease student achievement, and that part of the waiver really doesn't have anything to do with Luminary Learning Network, that's just the provider that you chose to oversee these schools across in this zone. Am I right about that?
That's accurate, and then we will have a separate MOU. We have a separate MOU that we would be signing with LLN
so
to provide the support.
I asked the question.
So let me ask this. So what is the role of Luminary? Because I think that's what you're questioning.
Well, they're taking
over the money.
In
a way, that has nothing to do with the waiver, but maybe you could address their role.
Well, one of the things that when I asked Mark Ferrandino, who's the CFO for Denver Public Schools, is I asked, why are you coming to the board for this approval when you have had other zones before, and you have? And he says, well, in this case, it's different because we're having, we have this MOU with this other nonprofit. And it's several schools who are already our innovation. And so we are experimenting, and that is in this document too, and this document as well. He calls it experimenting with a new governance model. So the reason you're coming here, according to Ferrandino, is because of this new governance model.
So Dr. Flores, if I may, I believe it's to align the waivers within the zone for the schools within the zone would be what they're asking for.
So well, this is a different governance model, though, that you're going to have a, well, I know that it, within a charter you have that too, and that the district is still oversees that, but this is going to be a super sort of group of people within these families and such in these schools, and then they're going to be a board, and they're going to have supervisory over. They're going to collect money for one. I mean, they're not going to do it for free, and I just don't see that. I mean, there's already systems upon systems of administrators.
So
who are training.
So can I follow up on that? So I think maybe what you're asking is a broad question, which is, Does innovation status make sense? Does the statute, which allows schools to apply for innovation status and innovation zones, does that work? Does it serve kids well? Our broad authority is actually kind of a low bar, as the AG suggested. We're just looking at the waivers. But the bigger question probably could provoke a study session where we could look at it. But just for my own information, could you just talk about the role of the Luminary Network? I know we're not voted, that's not really in our purview either, but it'd just be interesting to know what they do.
Sure. So just to clarify, this will be the first innovation zone that we will have in Denver Public Schools. So we have had innovation schools before. We have charter schools that we authorize as well. This will be the first time that our board will have authorized an innovation zone. The role that the Luminary Learning Network will play is that they will be acting as a support organization. So they will be accountable to our board, and they will be providing support to the four schools that are part of this zone. And so through the MOU, which the state board is not voting on, we have agreed to a certain number of services that they will be providing, and that they will be accountable to our board for ensuring that those services are provided with exceptional quality and are resulting in improved outcomes for students, that we will be able to check through how we hold the four schools and the zone as a whole accountable for results.
And is that support more logistics, or is it more academic? Like, is it coaching, or is it more logistical?
It's going to be both. So they will be providing both logistical support and helping with issues that might arise. All of the schools have the ability at the school level to choose to opt in to a set of district services, or to choose to opt out and use the LLN services that are provided. They will also be providing oversight for our principal coaching, but will be using the systems that we use in DPS to evaluate our teachers and our leaders. So our LEAP system and our LEAD system, all of which are aligned to state statute, will remain in place. Those will continue to be the tools that are used by LLN, but they will be providing support with regards to that coaching. We are also ensuring that the support and those that are offering that support are of incredible high quality, and so what the principals will be receiving in terms of that support will meet the standard that we have as a district.
Thank you.
Okay, further discussion? Seeing none, there's a motion on the table to approve the innovation zone. Ms. Burtzel, would you call the roll, please?
Board Member Flores?
No.
Board Member Goff?
Yes.
Board Member Maznak?
Yes.
Board Member Rankin?
Yes.
Board Member Shuffle?
Yes.
Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
And Chairman Durham?
Yes. That motion is adopted by a vote of 6-1. Thank you very much for your attendance today. We'll now proceed to item 12.01. Let's see, as soon as I can find it here. Let's see, okay. We're going to conduct a public rulemaking hearing for the rules of the annual inspection and preventive maintenance of school transportation vehicles. The board voted, state board voted to approve the notice of rulemaking in its April 13th, 2016 board meeting. A hearing to promulgate these rules was made known through publication of a public notice on April 25th, 2016 through the Colorado Register and by the State Board. Notice on June 1st, 2016. State Board is authorized to promulgate these rules pursuant to 22-2-107, paren 1, paren C, CRS. Commissioner, is the staff prepared to proceed with an overview?
Yes, we are, Mr. Chair. I'll turn it over to Leanne M. and Jennifer Oakes.
Thank you. Ms. Oakes?
Yes, thank you. So this was a notice of rulemaking that you all approved back in April. And so just going to recap quickly for you what's included in your packet, what the rules do, and some of the changes that resulted as part of that rulemaking, the formal rulemaking process. And today we have two rules before you. So the first, we'll address one of those, and then this subsequently the second, but I'll discuss them together if that's okay, because what we're trying to do is really streamline and consolidate these rules. The first set of rules is the operation of school transportation vehicles. The second set is about the maintenance and annual inspection of the vehicles. And the thought was is that it would be much more simplified if they could be combined because they're really all related to that. So what we are asking you to do, the first set of rulemaking is to repeal the rulemaking related, the current rulemaking related to preventative maintenance and annual inspection. Those rules have been in place since 1983. The operation rules have been in place since 1973. What we'd like to do is in the second rulemaking is combine all of those and then streamline it. So we're taking about a third of the rules away and really consolidating. A lot of those streamlining is eliminating rules that are just duplicative and repetitive of statute because there's always the chance to get it a little bit off sync with statute, which is not good. And so we'd like to just have the rules be what they need to do in order to clarify or expand upon the statutes, but not reiterate the statutes. We do think that there's a value of having sort of a one-stop shop when it comes to the rules. And so we've done those in drafts, which we have lots of drafts, which are manuals or guides, guides for each type of school bus driver, whether it's on a route of the bigger buses or routes of the smaller type A buses or small vehicles or an activity driver. So what we're doing is putting everything, rules and statutes and federal regulations, all in one place. Also, the Department of Revenue with their commercial driver's license, CDL, has regulations. So this will be the one-stop shop for each of the drivers, but these rules will just be the rules that are needed. So that's sort of the goal. There's several documents that you all were provided, so I thought it might be good to just take a second to outline which of those are. A is the memo that you all get that summarizes a lot of what I'll talk about. B is really I got them out of order. B is the proposed rulemaking for the second set. This is the combination, and you can see at the end we're striking the original and the front is sort of all of the new stuff. C is the first order of business is to just repeal that maintenance and inspection rules. D, this is a comparison of the existing rules and the proposed new rules, and that was requested at the last meeting, and again, it was a great suggestion because I think it was very helpful for me and hopefully for you all to see the side-by-side, and you can see what we've done. In a lot of cases, what we found is the rules are really good. They're good and solid, but they could maybe be clarified a little bit. We reorganized them a lot so you could have school district responsibilities or responsibilities associated with route drivers of the